Same show with a fresh new coat of paint. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the first official episode of The Last Call. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And, you know, it's funny. I left to go to Huntsville for a couple of days, and I come back, and it's different. I don't know what happened. I was just, like, chilling. Like, hey, you know, and then here we are. This is The Last Call. But
he's back.
Graham, back this again. Is... Yeah, we are back.
Hunter and I are reunited, guys. I was so lonely last week.
I know, but I'm glad that you held it down. Proud of you. And this is the last call. I don't really know how else to say it, but same thing. Nothing is changing. As far as I know, nothing is changing. The last call is practically what the social hour was. It's just called The Last Call now. And we're going to be highlighting, you know, the same social media drama that'll take place and talk about our opinions, share mine, let Graham share his, and we will go from there. Not afraid to nerd out as always. I mean, you know me. I'm a nerd at heart, so is Graham. So if you're new here, welcome, because I know this is a new channel. So again, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. So yes, again, welcome to The Last Call. Graham, what are your thoughts on this, man? Like, kind of,
I'm so excited. This is electric. I think this is, you know, fantastic for what, you know, all of us want to do and what we, you know, we want to see. And so, and going on to a place like Auburn Daily, which is where, you know, you find all of our new stuff, is, I think, a great place, you know, where it's representing everything that we want. You know, it quite literally is an Auburn Daily show. We all have shows that go up daily. And so it's a great representation of what we all want to do. And, Last Call, I love the name, and I'm super excited to get this going. Like I said, nothing content wise is really going to change from us. We're going to be doing the same type of stuff, but it will just, you know, be under a different name, and then that's super, super exciting for us and for really this upcoming season.
Yeah, and two, the name is cool, but can we talk about the logo?
Absolutely. As soon as Kyle said the logo, I was like, "Yep, I'm in. Let's do it."
Absolute gas. I hope my microphone didn't cut out when I said gas, because it is absolute fire. I love it. Looks great. I'm a big fan of, like, neon lights like that anyway. Same. So it fits my vibe. Yeah, it fits my vibe. It fits Graham's vibe. If it fits both of our vibes, we're in.
And
so
hopefully by next week, we'll be up in video. Like I said, today it's just audio. Yeah. But next week, hopefully we should be up doing some video again and here shortly as we get things figured out as we make the transition. But yeah, super, super excited to be doing this.
Yeah, it's cool that we're still getting to go for this. And like I said, as far as I know, it's going to be the same. And, you know, if anything changes, we will let you know. But as far as I know, we are here and we are doing our thing per usual, business as usual. So don't fret, don't worry, because we are not in a hurry. We are here for you. So I don't know where that came from. That came off the dome. But anyway,
I liked it. It rhymed.
Yeah, rhyming accidentally. Bars. But that being said, we do have some news to talk about, because Alex Golish did have a presser today.
Hold on, Hunter.
Yeah.
The season is here. Fall camp is fast. It is. It is Auburn football season.
Can I say something?
We are in season football.
Thank God. Oh, I am beyond ready for football season. Beyond ready.
Like, I needed it about 2 weeks ago.
You know how excited I get for football that it's here?
How excited?
That excited. That excited. That's how excited I am. Yeah, I am. I'm ready. I know you're ready. I know everyone, I guess, listening in this case is ready. But the presser today was very, it was, you know, he told everybody everything they wanted to hear today. One thing in particular we could talk about, I guess you want to talk about, I guess, our favorite parts of it, I guess, or do you want to, like, go in the details of it and then we'll talk about our favorite parts?
We can just talk about our favorite parts of it.
Okay. I'll let you take the floor.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing that stood out to me, and if you haven't listened to the presser, go do that. You can find it on YouTube anywhere. But one thing he mentioned that I thought was really interesting, was that the one thing that he was still really concerned about for this team was, you know, off-field maturity, off-field distractions, you know, trying to get these guys to lock in 100% on the job at hand. Mm-hmm. And obviously that does make sense. Obviously we have a pretty young roster, especially on the offense. We're pretty young around the board, other than, you know, maybe like when I say that receiver wise, we got, I mean, like, you know, Keyshawn Singleton's, I think, only about to be a junior this year. So, mm-hmm. And Jeremiah Koger was a true freshman last year. So, and we have a lot of young guys at depth in that receiver room. But I think that, like, knowing that information now and that's something that Golis was really concerned about really makes sense now why he's like, okay, we're going to go to stay at this Marriott for 2 weeks of fall camp to take all distractions away. Because he clearly knew, he's like, these guys need to be forced to not have distractions, need to see what it feels like to not have distractions. And obviously we know that Golis thought it was really helpful, really successful staying in the Marriott. And then clearly now he's bringing back up that he's got concerns about off-field stuff. Maybe that, you know, makes me think that since they've been done in the hotel, because they've been done with the hotel for a week now. I think a week ago yesterday was their last day in the hotel.
Feels so long ago, but yet I know it just ended.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if some off-the-field distractions may have come up in the last week. Obviously, school started last Monday for these guys, and so there were a lot more distractions now through practice and stuff like that than there were previously. So maybe some stuff came up that Golis saw and was like, okay, like, it helps being in the Marriott, but now that we're not and we're back in a normal environment, these guys are still dealing with some distractions. Like, that didn't fix everything. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, these guys can, like, lock in. Because, I mean, I really think, and Golis said as well, if these guys can buy in all the way 100%, like, he's not worried about on-the-field stuff at all. Like, he thinks that stuff is good, and that will take care of itself. But if he can, you know, get these guys to lock in 100% on, you know, the job at hand of trying to be the best football team week in and week out, I think that would be a major step in being a successful football team this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I like that he took that initiative to do that, because he's right. In this current era of college football, there are so many distractions between not just stuff, you know, personal stuff off the field, the hype around certain people, you know, that, you know, there could be a clip that, you know, spreads of a certain player, and then, you know, the egos start to grow a little bit, and you don't want that to happen on a team that's, you know, well run. You don't, you know, big egos don't equal, you know, big bucks. And that's, you know, the world wants to tell you that that's not how that works. It's just not. And I'm glad that he took the initiative to do what he did to, and yes, there was going to be scrutiny. We could see it coming from a mile away. Hell, the AL.com guy was like roasting him, and with the dumbest points, by the way. And I know he only does these opinionated articles. Doesn't make the fact that it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Talking about how, oh, well, they're just, you know, soft. What? Like going to this place to not only mentally cut off everything, but to get just mentally right for the football season. Yep. That, to me, that speaks volumes about who Golis is, what type of staff we have, and that the players were willing to be like, yeah, we agree with you. We're with you. Let's go. Let's get away. Let's do it. Because most, you'll have some players that'll be like, oh, hell no. Uh-uh. I'm going to transfer. It's like, as far as I know, no one transferred during this. You know what I mean? So, which they couldn't. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or try to force their hand.
Well, who knows if they could at this point with all the crazy stuff happening in college football. Where we have NFL players possibly coming back to college.
Thanks, Lane. We're out here signing tight ends that literally were running routes in a preseason game for the Browns, and now they're going to be in Baton Rouge. But, yeah, because Golis is the bad guy in all this, right? The thing that stuck out to me to, you know, or should we do, let's do ads. Let's do some ads real quick. First, we got to talk about AUShirts.com per usual. AUShirts.com. Get all your favorite shirts from your favorite shows associated with Auburn Daily. You know, you know the options that, you know, you have on your screen, even though you can't see them. But, you know, you got the Boog hats, the C5 hoodies, etc. The FE Iron shirt, which is my favorite shirt. If you know, you know, that's a Golis quote. But like I said, we would love to shout you out on the show. So if you are wearing a shirt from AUShirts.com, be sure to let me know, Graham know, and Auburn Daily know, and tag us and let us know you were sporting your gear from AUShirts.com. We will shout you out on the show, whether you're at the Baylor game in Atlanta, a home game in Jordan-Hare, an away game, or just from the comfort of your home at a watch party. Let us know you're repping your gear from AUShirts.com by tagging us. So again, that is AUShirts.com, AUShirts.com.
Also go to buyauburn.com while you're at it and be here. You say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you are a business owner in the Auburn area or anywhere in the country that is an Auburn fan, then buyauburn.com is the place for you to go to check out companies that are run by other or to get your company on an index that is full of companies from Auburn fans. Or if you're just a customer looking to support the Auburn fan base and the Auburn family, then buyauburn.com is a great place for you to go to do that, to get all of your needs whenever you can. So go to buyauburn.com today to check out the index.
Yes, please do. It is growing every single day by the handfuls. Steve5 can attest to that. So again, if you know anyone with a local business and ties to Auburn University, let them know about buyauburn.com. Graham, moving on, my favorite thing from this presser was what Coach Golis said about him and Byron Brown's relationship. He was asked about that today, and one of the funnier things that I've heard since he has taken over as coach and since Byron Brown has stepped foot at Auburn University is Byron Brown is first to the facility, and he will take a photo of Coach Golish's parking spot and be like, "Hey, bro, where you at? I'm here before you." And whenever, you know, the end of the day comes and, you know, vice versa, Byron Brown will leave and Coach Golish will send a text like, "Hey, hope you're sleeping well," type of thing. It's just that dynamic, I'm telling y'all, is it's not just something to be like, you know, kind of elbow, be like, "Huh, that's funny." That's real chemistry. That is very real chemistry. I love to see that personally as a fan. You know, take off the Auburn Daily last call hat, throw that all the way over there across the room. I'm going to put on my fan hat. I'm excited about that. Okay? I'm cautiously optimistic as a fan going into the season because I don't know how that's going to look. Okay? This is year one of Golish. Okay? But so far, I've been very impressed with his recruiting, with the way he handles the media, the way he handles his players, the way he handles his team. Because this whole offseason has been, you know, are they going to be able to do this? Are they going to be able to do that? Or, you know, they're the most overhyped team, you know, this offseason. And it's like, bro, we ain't done anything in 5 years. Allow us to be optimistic just a little bit. My God. You know what I mean? That's not hard to do. We're allowed to be a little optimistic. But because we're optimistic is because of Golish's relationship with our starting quarterback. You have to have that. I feel like Auburn has not had that since what? Bo Nix and Gus?
Yeah, probably. I don't think any of the quarterbacks and coaches have had the relationship like those guys did since then. I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, Harsin and Bo definitely did not. TJ Finley and Harsin didn't. Robbie Ashford and Harsin didn't. I mean, Robbie Ashford and Peyton Thorne definitely didn't have that with Freeze. Jackson Arnold didn't have that with Freeze.
Oh, no, he did not.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then that would leave us, you know, here now.
Shall we?
Yeah, wow.
Shall we go back in time to 2019? Shall we? Let's take a walk.
Good.
We go back in time to 2019.
Man,
Bo Nix is a freshman at Auburn. Mm. And he just won the season opener against Oregon.
Mm. Beat Justin Herbert.
Yes, beat Justin Herbert, who is now the starting quarterback for the Chargers, Bo Nix for the Broncos. But at the time, Auburn versus Oregon. If you remember, the last time we saw a quarterback and coach relationship similar to what we have now is Bo Nix and Gus Malzahn. And the infamous clip where you see Bo Nix look Gus Malzahn dead in the face and go boom like that. And then Gus goes boom.
So awesome.
Let's now go back to present day.
Keep in mind, that team, what was their record in 2019? Like 8-0? They were 9-3. What the heck? Or hold on, they lost their bowl game. But
regular season, though, 9-3, right?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, wow. We were 9-3, finished the year 9-4 after the bowl game.
So bowl game aside, what has everyone been predicting that our floor slash ceiling will be? 8-4, 9-3. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and that also was with a freshman quarterback relationship with the new head coach. This is a relationship that of a quarterback that has been there now for 3 years with this head coach.
I wish I had a ding, 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 ding. 3 years. 3 years. If you're not confident in that, I don't know what else is. Know what else is. For sure.
Coach and quarterback chemistry is like very, 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 very important. Very. You have not to be that. You have to be. Or else you're not going to be successful. And we've seen that at Auburn. That it's been a thing at Auburn.
For the past 5 freaking years.
Since pre-COVID.
Oh my God. Don't even bring up COVID.
Isn't that insane? That COVID was 6 years ago. Gross. Bo Nix's freshman year at Auburn was 7 years ago.
My God. But that being said, not only do you have that coach and quarterback relationship chemistry going out the roof, out the wazoo, okay? You have that with the receivers. You have that with some of the offensive line. You have that with a defense that already has chemistry with Durkin. Nothing has changed there. Nothing has changed. So, that being said, I know that Auburn fans are on the fence on, let's see how this season goes. If, you know, if he has a, you know, a really bad year, I think Auburn football might be doomed forever. Keep thinking that. We have a great chemistry vibe going on that not a lot of teams in college football have, let alone the SEC. You have a lot of, like, a school that I want to use an example of is Tennessee, okay? This isn't shade at Tennessee. This is shade at the current coaching staff and players at Tennessee, okay?
Yep.
Josh Heupel's on the hot seat, okay? No one's getting along with him right now in the athletic department. Players are getting either in trouble or they can't pick them up in the transfer portal left and right, okay? They just announced, what, today or yesterday that they're starting a true freshman at quarterback for Tennessee?
Yeah.
And I know he's good from what I've read.
This is another thing I want to talk about in just a minute.
Yeah. But I have been saying and screaming from the rooftops and people think I'm nuts. I think we'll have a decent game in Neyland. I'm sorry. And then I hope not, but the classic Auburn wakes up at 11 a.m. after just eating their breakfast, you know, to go play a football game. And we lay an egg in an 11 a.m. kickoff game against Mississippi State, potentially. That's what I think. That is just in my prediction. Do what?
Said there's just at least one game a year where Auburn just forgets how to play football.
And I think that's the one I think it will be. But I
sure hope not.
I hope not either, but it's just how it has gone. I'm just speaking from an Auburn fan based off the past experience that I've lived through and watched that everyone else can relate to. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, we should have beat New Mexico State. Then we lost. We should have beat Kentucky, and we lost. We should have beat, what was the other school that during oh my gosh, not Missouri. Missouri was decent this year. What was the other school a couple years ago that we dropped and we were like looking really bad and you know, everyone was like, oh my God, what are we doing?
Well, there was an Arkansas game two years ago, I think, that we lost at home. That one was like, there's no way we should.
That's it. That's the one because it was the same time Champ Anthony broke his leg.
Yes, it was that game.
Yes, same game. We should have won that game. We start the momentum. If you could not script a better start for your defense in that game, you took off
Champ Anthony too. My God,
Champ Anthony took a dude's freaking head off, and it set the tone. And we still lost. And granted, it's unfortunate he got injured like the following play, but you know what I mean.
That should have fired them up. You know, like
yes,
and it didn't. Especially after Champ going down, be like, all right, now play for your boy who has just snapped his leg in half and is probably currently on the way to the hospital. Play for him. Like, win this game for him because he just showed you how much this means to him the previous play. And now you need to play for him because he can't play it. Be out there to play with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all that to say, that moment specifically should have been something that brought the team together and it didn't. The New Mexico State game should have been something that they all gather in the locker room. They lick their wounds. We talk about it like men and move on to the next and kick whoever's, you know what, the next game.
Yep.
Didn't happen. Same thing against Kentucky, so on and so forth, rinse and repeat. There's probably other examples as well, even before those games. All that to be said, though, this team is different. I can feel it. I might be crazy. People are going to think I'm a jinx. I'm knocking on wood as we speak when I say this, okay? I think this team has the ability to be something special if they play their cards right. Not a lot of teams in SEC nor college football have the chemistry on our side. It's just like we do. I'm sorry. It's just call me crazy. I know in the long run, eventually have to get out there and hit somebody and score touchdowns. I understand that. But if the team on the other sideline is pushing each other and not acting like a team, yet we're building each other up and still holding each other accountable, call me crazy. That sounds like DNA of a championship team, no? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we're going to win the Natty. But again, the last time we had a decent quarterback coach relationship was 2019, and we went 9-3.
With a freshman.
With a freshman, correct. Who is immensely talented. He just didn't have the line to pull it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not on him. I don't blame Bo for leaving. I would be frustrated too if my own line was literally.
It was also just the coach. Bo just didn't like Harsin. And I don't blame him for that either.
Why do you think I have my helmet turned around that has Harsin's signature on it? Yeah. I can just see the Auburn logo and it's pure glory. And then turn around and it's like, here's to the winners. It's like, gross, dude. I've never tried to find a like magic eraser in my life that works and it still won't come off. Anyway, that being said, Graham, you got anything else you want to add to that? Because I know that they talked about a lot, but to me, that's the thing that stood out the most.
No, I mean, I did have something on the whole quarterback, freshman quarterback of Tennessee, but we can talk about that.
Tomorrow. Go ahead. Hit me with it. Are you sure? Well, I mean, I guess we got, because we have there's a list that came out today that we're going to touch on tomorrow.
We'll talk about it. When we're done recording, I'll tell you about it and we'll talk about it.
Okay, cool. Well, that being said, I hope everyone enjoyed the first episode of The Last Call. I'm glad I got that right the first time because I was like, in my head, that thing was getting jumbled around like I got dyslexia or something.
The first last call of this episode.
Yes. But I hope everyone enjoyed the first episode of The Last Call. Again, football season is here. It is time to rejoice. Do not forget to follow us on social media and wherever else you listen to your podcast. As always, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McClain. You have been listening to the Last Call, as always. And I'm glad I can say this once again. War damn. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.